Spirit of Thank you. Great, your love is great. for. Everything you've been asking is found in this moment, in that connection with Jesus, your encounter with the God of all creation. Don't let it pass. Worship him in this moment, church. We glorify you, Father. We magnify you in this house this morning, God. We lift up all praise for you. You are holy. You are worthy, God. We honor you in this house this morning. Fall in this place, Holy Spirit. Have your way in this place, Holy Spirit.
give you all the praise. For yours is the power, yours is the glory, yours is the kingdom. There's no God like our God. Lord, we lift you up in praise. We lift you up in worship today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your mercy toward us. We thank you, Lord, that your anointing destroys every yoke and removes every burden. And Lord, I thank you that by your anointing, by your word today, that you destroy yokes from people's lives and you remove burdens from people today. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. We thank you, Lord, that as we gather together, your word tells us where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in our midst today. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We invite you to have your way. We invite you to touch our life, touch our heart, change us, Lord. From glory unto glory, let us not leave you the same, but let us be changed. Let us be transformed in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you here this morning. Before you sit down, I just want to take a moment. We want to pray for people. And I'm going to ask, where did Bruce go? Bruce, where are you at? I want to ask Bruce to come forward just quickly. We've got such a wonderful testimony. For those of you who know Bruce, his grandson, well, Debbie's grandson. Debbie's grandson in Atlanta. Turn this one on, please, too, Chester. Your grandson is how old?
4 years old.
And what is his name?
Carmelo.
And what? Tell what happened a couple of months ago? You got the call. What happened?
He's perfectly normal one day, and the next day he's got leukemia, full blown leukemia.
The doctors diagnosed him with leukemia, and he's 4 years old. And then?
And they found cancer in his spinal cord fluid. They found cancer in his bone marrow. And now he's healed.
Amen!
With me?
Yes.
Well, I thank everybody for praying, because it took all the prayers. I was reading my Bible one morning after this had all happened, and in Mark or Luke, there's a Jesus cursed the fig tree.
Yeah, Mark chapter 11.
And the disciples asked him, how can we do this? And he said, by having faith without doubt.
Amen.
Amen. I picked up the phone, I called Debbie, and I said, between 8:30 or 8 o'clock and 8:15 in the morning, and told her that Carmelo was healed.
Amen.
And I never dreamed how much, if you've never had that experience, it's harder. You tell a grandmother her baby's cured of cancer.
Amen.
Hello. And that's what God told me to do. And this is the fruition of it. This is the results. Praise God.
Thank you for all. Amen. Amen.
Have done more tests, right? They actually did 3 spinal taps.
They did 5.
They did 5 spinal taps.
The first one was cancer. The other ones had been
the done. First spinal tap said that he had cancer. And then we prayed, and then the Lord spoke to you when you were reading the Bible, and then you called them, and then the next 4 are all cancer free. Now the doctors are saying that he's in remission. You know, when cancer's there one day and then it's not there the next day, they say it's in remission. Of course, because there's a chance it can come back. But how many of you know it ain't coming back? How many of you know that the Lord healed him? We know that, right? We ain't no doubt about it.
I checked his bone marrow one time, cancer. And they this was the last test they took of the bone marrow to be sure that he was in remission. And the doctor told Carmelo's parents, Roxanne and Eric, that they don't get to do this, tell people this very often, this early. Praise God. That's what I'm
here. We rejoice with you, Bruce. We rejoice. I wanted Bruce to share that with you because I want you to know. I want you to know that when I say, listen, if you need prayer, come forward and pray. I'm not just doing it because I'm trying to fill up time here. I'm not doing it because I've got nothing better to do. I'm not doing it just to come out of some kind of religious duty. I'm doing it because I know the power of prayer. I know that Jesus is the name above every name. I'm doing it because I've seen thousands of people healed. Miracles take place. Listen, if you need the Lord's help, if you need healing in your body, if you need healing, one of your family needs healing, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you this morning. If you need healing, if you have an illness, a sickness, anything wrong with your body, come right now. Let us pray. The Bible says the believer will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. See, as we lay our hands upon you and pray in faith using the name of Jesus, what happens is the power of God, the healing power of Jesus flows into your body. If you need healing, I want you to come. If you have any other kind of a need, if you have a financial need, if you need a job, if you need restoration in your family, if you need to be set free, you're struggling with an addiction, you're struggling with depression, whatever it may be, if you're standing here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I need the Lord to help me, I would like you to pray for me. I want you to come right now. Come on. If you need prayer, I want you to come right now. Angela, I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you. We spoke before the service, and I want to stand in agreement for your complete healing, restoration in Jesus' name. Let me pray with you, Angela. Stretch your hand toward these folks. If you would, if you need prayer, come on now.
our lives and in our families and in our church. Father, your will be done. We just lay everything at your feet this morning, and we give you all honor and all praise in this place. Does anyone else agree with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful song to worship the Lord, right? You know, we can pray that the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. But when you take the time to just think about what you're saying and what you're doing, you could spend an hour just on that one sentence. You know, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, right? Praise God that it is. Well, welcome to church this morning. Why don't you turn and greet someone, tell them you're glad to see them, and you may be seated. Thanks. That you've come to worship with us this morning. We have an expectancy that God is going to speak to us and build our faith and strengthen us this morning. Amen. And we want to welcome you, especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having visitors in our church, don't we? And if you are here for the first time, what we like to do is just honor you with a give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. Don't want to embarrass you in any way. So if you are here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can give you a gift bag? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Just keep it up until the ushers see you. Thank you. Wonderful. We really are glad that you're here. If you're here, just keep it up so that an usher sees you. And in that bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. We put it in there hoping it'll be a blessing to you. There's also a white card. If you just take a moment and fill that out for us, at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that white card in, and it gives the pastor an opportunity to call you. Just find out how you enjoyed the service. And if you'd like to, we'd love to just say hi. If you just hang around for a moment, we'll be in the lobby. Just come and greet us. We appreciate you being here. Amen. Wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. Great. How's everybody today? Everyone's doing good? I want to ask all those who helped out yesterday. I want to say thank you to all of our helpers from yesterday. Dan, would you mind coming here for a second? And for those who are here, come on, Nick and Karan and all those who were there yesterday. Come out here, come stand here with me. Who else was there? David. And Siobhan and Danny not here today? We worked her too hard yesterday. Well, listen, we had six people yesterday that they were there to help. Where's David? And I just want to say thank you. We had six people came to help. We were working at our storage unit. We have two storage units, and we have a lot of equipment in storage. And what we would do, we took everything out. You can't believe how much fitted in that storage unit. Took everything out, and then we reorganized so that we're trying to cut it down to just one unit. And so the rest, we have stuff we're going to be selling and we're going to be throwing out. But these guys worked for 6 hours yesterday. I tell you what, I was so tired when I got home yesterday, because we were there 6 hours. And you went to work afterwards. I thought to myself, you went to work after that. I'm at home like, you know, I feel 22. But my body reminds me I'm not 22. You ever had that, Tony? I remember 22, I'd be 6 hours, no problem, man. Now it's like, whoa. David, thank you. Thank you, David. I want you to give them a big round of applause and to say thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who helped today. Our setup team, we're here at 6:30 this morning, set this all up. Give them a big round of applause, the setup team. And they were here at 6:30, so you didn't have to be here. And so I didn't have to be here. I can prepare and get ready and you know, for service. And I think about that set up team. Thank you so much. All of our volunteers, our children's church volunteers and media volunteers and our musicians and our sound engineer and the ushers, everyone that helps out. This is a team effort. Thank you for helping today. Amen. I'm glad to be in church. I don't know about you. Sunday's my favorite day. What's your favorite day? Sunday's my favorite day. Get to be in church, right? Get to hear God's word. Are you ready for God's word this morning? I just want to say that while we were clearing out the storage, you can't believe the stuff we got in there. Today, have you ever read the Joel Osteen book, It's Your Time? It's a great book. These books are usually $25. That's what it says on the cover. We're going to sell them today for $5. That's not a bad deal. It's a hardcover book. If you want, we've got a limited amount, but if you haven't read this book, it's a great book. Great gift. $5 out there at the book table. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
If you're ready, say, I'm ready.
Ready.
Tell your neighbor, are you ready?
Ready?
Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell him, I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you. I feel honored to be sitting next to you. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that your word is what brings us life and wisdom. Your word is what causes our faith to grow. Your word, Lord, is what guides us. It's a lamp unto our feet. Lord, today as I stand before your people to teach your word, I'm trusting you, Lord, to help me, to anoint me, to use me. I thank you, Father, that you anoint your word today, that you cause faith to rise up in every heart, that you bring revelation, you bring understanding, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Now, we're in a series here at Christian Family Church. We've been talking about faith that moves God to act in your life. It is faith that moves God to act in your life. And this is part number 4. We've been talking about this the last 4 weeks. Today we're going to talk about putting action to your faith. Putting action to your faith. Now, this is so important to understand the subject of faith because really the Bible says that without faith, just go back for me, teleprompter, thank you, Brian. The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
You can't please God without faith.
Right.
The only way you can please God is with faith. Your faith is what is pleasing to God. The Bible says we commanded to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. If I'm supposed to live by faith, how many of you agree? I need to know what it is. I need to know how it works. If I'm supposed to live by it, right? The Bible says without faith, we cannot expect to receive anything from God. Do you know that everything you receive from God comes the same way? It comes by faith. Without faith, you cannot receive anything from God. But with faith, you can receive whatever you need from God. With faith, nothing is impossible. Faith is what moves God to act in your life. So it's vital to understand the subject. So today I'm going to speak about putting action to your faith. Now, in James chapter 2, verse 14, if you have your Bible, read it with me. James 2, verse 14, I'm going to read from the Weymouth translation. The Weymouth. And it says it like this. What good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith, and yet his actions do not correspond? Can such faith save him? Faith, if it is unaccompanied by action, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, it has no life in it. Faith without action has no life. In fact, the New International Version says faith, if it is not accompanied by action, it is dead. Faith without action is dead. Action is what gives life to your faith. James 2:26 says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without action is dead. Do you know that it is your spirit that gives life to your body? When God created man, Adam, back in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says he created him out of the dust of the ground. He created his body from the dust of the ground. And then he breathed into him the breath of life. He breathed his spirit. Your spirit is what gives life to your body. The Bible says that one day you are going to leave that body. One day you, the spirit, will leave that body. Your body will be buried, but you will continue to exist for all eternity.
Your spirit is what gives life to your body, and your action is what gives life to your faith. Faith without action is dead. Faith without action is useless. You see, just because you believe, well, I believe, Pastor Steve, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're exercising faith. You have to put action to your faith in order for it to work.
Amen.
Look here in Mark chapter 2, in verse number 1. It says, getting into Capernaum, after some days it was heard that he was in the house. Jesus was in the house. Immediately many were gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. The house was so full. And it says that he preached the word to them. What did Jesus preach? Jesus preached the word. What am I preaching you today? I'm preaching the word to you today. And it says, and then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, because the house was so full, they couldn't get in, they uncovered the roof where he was. Now, this paralyzed man convinced four of his friends to carry him on his bed to the house where Jesus was. He heard Jesus is in the house. But the house, when they got there, was so packed, they couldn't get inside. And they got to great lengths to get him there. I'm sure they were tired. I mean, what a letdown. They could have easily gotten discouraged and easily given up and said, well, you know, we tried, but not this paralyzed man. He was determined. As his friends turned to start to carry him home, he says, no, no, we're not going home yet. I'm not leaving until I get my miracle today.
Amen.
See, this man understood that you are closest to your victory when you face the greatest opposition. I said you're closest to your victory when you face your greatest opposition. If you're facing great opposition, it means you're close to your victory.
Amen.
You see, a lot of people would have given up. Oh, well, you know, I tried, but they told me no. Or I tried to get my degree, but the college was full. Or I tried to get that new home, but they wouldn't give me the loan. Or I tried to go to Christian Family Church, but it's just too far. Listen, you've got to be more determined than that. You've got to have a never say die kind of attitude. If you can't get in the door, why not try the window? If you can't get through the window, why not be bold and go through the roof? That's what this man did. He had them uncover the roof. What am I saying? I'm saying, don't quit trying. You are close to your victory. This man said to his friends, I've got an idea. Get me up on the roof and cut a hole in the roof and lower me down and so I can have a front row right in front of Jesus. And I can imagine his four friends saying, listen, brother, we love you, but you are crazy. How are we going to get you up on the roof? That's impossible. But he talked them into it. And finally, they hoisted him up on the roof. And Jesus was in the middle of his sermon. And the Bible says in verse 4, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. Suddenly, dust starts falling from the ceiling. People wonder what in the world is going on. Then a roof tile comes off. And then another roof tile comes off. And then another roof tile comes off. And they lower this paralyzed man right through the roof on his bed, right in front of Jesus. And you know what the Bible says? It says, when Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. When Jesus saw their faith. Say, Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Now, what did Jesus actually see? Because how many of you know you can't really see faith, but what he saw was their actions. He saw that they came. He saw that they brought their friend on a bed. He saw that they carried him. He saw that they climbed up on the roof. They lifted their friend up on the roof, and then they broke through the roof tiles, and then they let their friend down. And those are all actions. Jesus saw their actions, and he called it faith. You see, here's the question. Do you have a faith that can be seen? Do you have a faith that can be seen? Are you doing something out of the ordinary to show God that you believe in Him? See, like this man, you've got to do something to demonstrate your faith. I said, you've got to do something to demonstrate your faith. It says in verse 6, some of the scribes were sitting there. They were reasoning in their heart. They said, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? He said to the paralytic man, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose, and he took up his bed, and he went out of the presence of them all, so that they were all amazed, and they glorified God. They said, we never saw anything like this. Do you know when you start to put some actions to your faith, you're going to see things that you never saw anything like this before? It happened because this man dared to do something where God could see his faith. How many of you know that there were other people that were in that room that day and they were not healed? I said, how many of you know there were people in that room that day and they were not healed? Right? Go back for me one, Brian. You see, the Bible says this man put action to his faith. God is looking for people that have a faith that he can see, that put action to it. Amen?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, you need to put action to your faith. That's it, Brian. You can move on. Not just one that God can hear, but a faith that is visible, a faith that is demonstrated. See, for faith to work, there must be action.
Amen.
You have to do something to demonstrate your faith. When God can see your faith, that's when amazing things happen. You know, one time in the scripture, there's an account where there were 10 lepers. They had leprosy. And they saw Jesus coming through the city. And they began to shout out, Jesus, have mercy on us. Make us whole. Jesus, have mercy on us. And Jesus, he could have healed them right there where they were, but he asked them to do something to demonstrate their faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 14, look what Jesus said. He said to these 10 lepers, he said, go and show yourself to the priests. Go show yourself to the priests. Now, why did Jesus tell them, go show yourself to the priests? Because in those days, if a leper was healed of leprosy, they had to go to the priest to confirm their healing. And they also had to take an offering to God when they went to see the priest. Jesus is telling them to put action to their faith, and then they will be made whole. And you know what's amazing? Lepers are not supposed to be around other people. They had to, you know, they had a contagious, highly contagious terminal disease, so they were considered unclean, and they had to live in colonies all by themselves. And I'm sure they must have debated, you know, do you really think we should go to see the priest? I mean, I don't look any better. You don't look any better. Do you really think we should go see the priest? Instead, they dared to put action to their faith. And what happened? The Bible says, and so it was, Luke chapter 17, verse 14, so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. You know what that means? You know what that means? That means that when they left Jesus, they were not cleansed. When they left Jesus, when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, they still got leprosy. But when they acted in faith, and they did what Jesus told them to do, and he said, go show yourself to the priest, as they went and put action to their faith, they were healed on the way. They were healed on the way. You see, the scriptures are full of examples like this. I mean, Elisha the prophet told Naaman, who had leprosy, to go and wash in the Jordan seven times in the Jordan, and he would be healed of his leprosy. It wasn't what Naaman expected. He kind of got mad. He said, why do I have to go to the Jordan River? That's his dirty river. I've got a river right by my house. It's much cleaner than the Jordan River. But thank God, when he did what Elisha said, he went and dipped seven times, he came up perfectly healed. His skin was brand new. One time Jesus spat on the ground and he made clay and he put it in the eyes, or on the eyes of a blind man, and then he told them, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So here's this blind man. And Jesus makes some mud, put it on his eyes. He said, well, you know, I was blind, but at least I was clean. Now I'm blind and I'm dirty. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And when he went to wash, the Bible says he came back seeing. When he went to wash, he was blind. But because he acted in faith, he came back seeing. But here's the question, what if he'd never acted? What if these people hadn't had the courage to demonstrate their faith? They would have never seen the miracle. They would have never seen God's goodness. You know, Jill and I, we attended Rhema Bible College in Johannesburg, South Africa in 1982. It was founded by a pastor, Ray McCauley, and doctors told him that he and his wife would never have children because he used steroids. He was a bodybuilder before he became a Christian, and he became sterile. He couldn't have children. The doctors told him, "You'll never have children." And you know what? They prayed and they believed God for a miracle to have a baby. And they put action to their faith. You know how they put action to their faith? Well, there's one way of putting action to their faith. But beside that, they went and they prepared the baby's room. They went and had the baby's room all decorated. They got the cot and they got everything. Because they're acting in faith. Do you know that their son Joshua is a pastor today? He's a pastor preaching the word of God. He's a miracle baby. He's a miracle. I heard Joel Osteen tell about his father, John Osteen. His father, John Osteen, of course, founded Lakewood Church in 1959. And their first building seated 270 people. And in 1972, they needed a bigger building. And so Pastor John had plans drawn to build an auditorium that would seat 1,000 people. It was going to cost $200,000. He presented the vision to the church, and then he took up a special offering, and the people gave $20,000. And so month after month, he sat back waiting for the rest of the funds. And they'd get a few hundred dollars every week, and at that pace, it's going to take them 10 years. And one day, a friend of his came by and he said to him, "John, why are you still in the same building?" And John said, "Well, we don't have enough money to build another building." And the man said, "Well, how much do you have?" And he said, "Well, we've got $20,000. It's only enough to pour the foundation." The man looked at him sternly and said, "Pour the foundation and watch what God will do." He was saying, "Dare to put action to your faith." So John got his courage up. He had to pour the foundation. Do you know, it wasn't any time before the money came in for the steel. And then the money came in for the walls. And then the money came in for the interior. Before long, the whole building was paid for. What happened? Just like the lepers, as he went and acted in faith, he saw God's goodness. As he demonstrated his faith, he saw God show up and show out. See, some of you today, you have a dream. But like John's, you put it on hold because you're waiting for everything to come together, and then you're going to act, and then you're going to make a move. And listen, it's wise. It's good to plan. It's good to be wise. It's good to plan. But you can't sit around your whole lifetime. At some point, you've got to show God that you mean business. You're serious about seeing your dreams come to pass. You've got to put actions behind what you believe in God for in your life. Can God see your faith? Can he see your faith? James 2:17 says, "Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead." The New International Revised Version says, if it doesn't cause us to, faith that doesn't cause us to do something is dead. The Good News Bible says, faith without actions is useless. God's Word Translation says, faith which does nothing is useless. See, some people have dead, useless faith. I know some people, they love God, they're good people, but they're not living the abundant life, they're not overcoming their obstacles, they're not accomplishing their God-given dreams. You know why? Because their faith is dead, their faith is useless. They're not putting any action to their faith, so they're not activating God's power and God's favor. And it doesn't always have to be a big action. I mean, sometimes, you know what? An action of faith is putting a smile on your face. Amen. How are you doing? I'm doing good. When you feel discouraged, that's demonstrating your faith. Just the fact that you came to church today, that's a faith that God can see. Because you could be at home resting or running errands, you could be working, you could do something else, but you took time to honor God. And let me tell you, God, you need to know that God saw you get up today, God saw you get in your car, God saw you make the journey to come to church today. God saw that. That's putting action to your faith. You know what? It tells me your faith isn't dead. Your faith is alive. is activating God's power. It's allowing God to fight battles for you. Your faith is opening doors for the extraordinary in your life. I mean, what are some actions that you can put to your faith? Let me share with you, what are some actions? Pastor Steve, how do I put actions to my faith? Let me give you six things real quick, okay? Number one, the first way you can put action to your faith is by praying the prayer of faith. Praying in faith and asking God. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Folks, that's an action of faith. The prayer of faith is when you ask God for the things you need, the things you desire, and then you believe that you have received it. That's a faith action you can make. Have you prayed? Have you asked God? Have you believed that you received when you pray? Second thing you can do is, the second faith action is when you focus on God's word and focus on God's promise, focus on what God says instead of focusing on your feelings and your senses and what you see and what you feel and how things look. You choose to focus on what God says. That's an action of faith. The scripture says this about Abraham, who's called the father of our faith. It says in Romans 4 in verse 19, not being weak in faith. So Abraham, what's the opposite of not weak? Strong, right? So Abraham wasn't weak in faith. He was strong in faith. He did not consider his own body already dead. He was about 100 years old, and he didn't consider the deadness of his wife Sarah's womb. He didn't consider the problem. He didn't consider his body. He didn't consider the circumstance. He was strong in faith because he didn't consider his body. Instead, he believed and he focused on what God said. He focused on the promise of God. That's where he put his attention. That's a faith action, family. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, when you keep your focus on God's word, when you keep your focus on God's promise, and you refuse to be moved by how things may appear, that's an action of faith. Number three, the third way you can put action to your faith, and we spoke about this last Sunday, is by speaking words of faith. You see, faith is released with your words. In Romans 10, verse 10, it says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do you get saved? By believing in your heart that God raised Jesus up from the dead, by believing Jesus died on the cross for you, that he rose from the dead, that he is alive. You believe that. And secondly, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord of my life. With the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made unto. Do you know that works the same in every area of your life? Faith is when you believe God and you speak out what you believe. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. You see, you've got to speak what you're believing. You've got to confess your faith. You've got to say, my God supplies all of my needs. You've got to say, by next year this time, I believe I'm going to be in my new house. You've got to declare, my God is restoring my health to me. By the stripes of Jesus, I've been healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who's in me than he that is in the world. You've got to give life to your faith by speaking it out of your mouth. Are you here?
Yes.
In Mark 11, verse 23, Jesus said, whoever says to this mountain, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Remember last week, we looked at the woman that had the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. The Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had an issue of blood. And then she heard about Jesus one day. And she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. She spoke her faith out. And then what did she do? She put action to it. She got out of her house. She got out in the crowd. There was a crowd around Jesus. She pressed her way through that crowd. She grabbed hold of the edge of his robe. And when she did, the power of God went out of Jesus. And she was totally and completely healed. After 12 years, been to every doctor, many doctors, no one could help her. She was totally healed. Why? She spoke her faith. Jesus turned around and he said, "Daughter, your faith made you well." Say, "I've got to speak my faith." Say, "I've got to confess what I believe in God for." That's how you put action to your faith. You've got to declare. You've got to say what you believe in God for. Amen? Number four, you've got to make sure you have actions that agree with your faith. Actions that agree with your faith. See, one of the greatest mistakes that Christians make is they confess their faith, but then they contradict it by wrong action. They contradict what they're saying by the way that they're acting. You see, you can't say, "Well, I'm trusting God to provide my finances," and at the same time I'm lying awake worrying every night how I'm going to pay my bills. Because that's a contradiction. If I believe God is supplying my needs, then you know what? I'm going to go to sleep. I'm not going to worry about it. Hello? See, if we say we're trusting God to provide our finance for us financially, yet at the same time we're worrying how we're going to pay our bills, there's no corresponding action. Our actions repudiate everything that we're saying. Your actions must correspond with your believing. If you're going to receive from God, you've got to act like you believe it. Amen. Act like God's word is true. One way you can do that is by just refusing to worry. You see, listen to me. I cannot worry and be in faith at the same time. I said I cannot worry and be in faith at the same time. Amen. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for no thing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So instead of worrying, what do? I make my request known unto God. I ask God for what I need, and then I thank Him, and I praise Him, and I don't worry about it. I'm not anxious about it. The Living Bible says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything, tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." The New Living Bible says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you." Do you know that's a faith action? An action of faith is, I'm giving all my worries to God. I'm giving all my cares to God. Amen. You see, some people think, well, that... Let me switch over, Brother Chester. Let's switch over. We're gonna blow some eardrums out here.
Praise the Lord.
One. What I need is another microphone. Turn this one down for me. Turn it down. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, He said, "I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or clothes, doesn't life consist more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant, harvest, or put into barns, because your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" How many of you know that we are much more valuable than the birds?
Amen.
Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why do you worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, and yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. If God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? You have so little faith. Do you know what that means? That means if I'm worrying, I'm demonstrating I have little faith. I'll say it again. If I'm worrying, I'm demonstrating I have little faith. So don't worry, verse 31. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. A faith action is... one way I can put action to my faith is simply I refuse to worry. Amen? God tells us, don't worry, live for Him. Make Him your priority. Make His kingdom your primary concern. Refusing to worry is a faith action. Casting your cares on the Lord is a faith action. You've got to put action to your faith in order to give life to your faith. That's what makes it work.
I mean, maybe you lost your job. Do you have your resume ready? Are you out knocking on doors, looking for a new job? I remember Jerry Savelle, Dr. Jerry Savelle, telling this story that when he believed God for his first airplane, he needed the airplane because commercial airlines, he couldn't get to all the places that he needed to go, and he was being invited to come speak. He couldn't get there with commercial airlines because of the connections and what have you. It was really limiting his ministry, and so he realized he needed his own plane so that he could, you know, if you're traveling in a different city every day, you know, I'm home, I don't need a plane, but if you're traveling to different cities every day, sometimes you can't do that if you're doing commercial. And so he believed God to give him a plane. And he felt the Lord prompt him that he should act in faith. And so as an action of faith, this is what he did. He went ahead and he booked his schedule like he already had a plane, when he didn't have one. So when someone would invite him, he'd say, yeah, I'll be there. And he booked up his schedule like he had his own plane. And you know what happened when he did? The plane showed up. God made a way.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? See, what actions can you take? Here's my question. What actions can you take to demonstrate your faith to God? Number five, praising God is an action of faith. It's a way you can put action to your faith. Praise is the highest expression of faith. Especially when you give God praise in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your enemies. I mean, there's so many examples of this in the Bible. In 2 Chronicles, King Jehoshaphat, the people of Judah, they were surrounded by three nations, three armies, joined forces, came to destroy them, came to wipe them out. It looked like no way out. It looked impossible. And you know what they did? They appointed singers to go out in the front of the army and to walk into battle singing, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Praise the Lord, His mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. You know what the Bible says? In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, it says, now when they began to sing and to praise. Notice that. When they began to sing and to praise. It didn't happen until they began to sing and to praise. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. The Bible says that their enemies turned on one another. They became confused. Their enemies destroyed themselves. The people of Judah didn't even have to lift the sword. They just watched the enemy wipe each other out. It only happened when they began to praise. That's when God acted for them. Praise is a faith action, family. When Joshua and the children of Israel came to Jericho, the first city in the promised land, they were going to, God told them, go take the city, I've given it to you. But it was surrounded by these big, great walls. It looked impossible to take the city. It had these huge walls around it. God told them, I want you to march around the walls of Jericho every day. For 6 days, march around one time in silence. Don't say anything. Just quiet. On the seventh day, I want you to march around it 7 times. And after the seventh time, I want you to give a great shout of praise. And the Bible says in Joshua 6 verse 20, it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. And then the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. It happened when they gave a shout of praise. The walls fell down flat, and they just walked in and they took the city. When Paul and Silas were thrown in jail in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says at midnight they were singing praises to God. And what happened? It says at midnight, Paul and Silas, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They weren't doing this quietly. This wasn't, hey, Silas, let's give God praise. Are you ready? I'm ready. Okay, let's go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Silas, are you singing? Are you singing, Silas? Yes, I'm singing, Paul. No, the Bible says the whole prison was listening to them. They were singing and praising God at the top of their lungs. Suddenly, what happened? Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains was loosed. All the prison doors flew open. All their chains flew up. This wasn't a normal earthquake. Because how many of you know in a normal earthquake, your chains don't fall off your head?
Right?
This was a miracle. God shook that jail. A lot of shaking going on. And all those chains fell off. It happened when they began to give God praise. You see, praise is a great act of faith. Praise is putting action to your faith. Anybody can praise God after you have the victory, but it takes faith to praise God before you see the victory. And God responds. Come on, give Him praise this morning. Put your hands together. Give Him a shout today. Give God praise today. If you believe Him, praise Him. So how do you put action to your faith? Pray the prayer of faith. Focus on God's word instead of on the problems. Right? Speak words of faith. Have actions that agree with your faith. Act like you believe you've received. Give God praise even before you see the victory. And then let me tell you another way you can put action to your faith. Do you know that giving is one way of putting action to your faith? Do you know that giving is a big way to demonstrate your faith to God? You know why? Because it really shows God where your trust is. And it moves God to act in your life. Giving really shows God where your trust is. I mean, we see an example of this in 1 Kings chapter 17. There was a famine in Israel. A famine. No rain for 3 years. And so God tells Elijah to go to a town called Zarephath. And God says, I've instructed a widow to provide for you. So he gets to the town of Zarephath, and sure enough, he sees a widow gathering firewood. And so he asks this widow, man, please will you bring me a little bit of water? And please will you bring me a piece of bread? A little bit of water and a piece of bread. And here's what she says. She said, I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. How many of you say she's in a fairly desperate situation? Huh, Tony? Don't have a single piece of bread in my house. I only have a handful of flour left in the jar. A little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. Then my son and I will die. But Elijah said to her, do not be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you said. But make a little bread for me first. And then what's left, to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord says, the God of Israel, there will always be flour and olive oil in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did, 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 as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and oil left in the containers, just as the Lord promised through Elijah. Amen. Now here's my question. The Lord did a miracle for this widow, right? Yes. I'll ask you again. The Lord did a miracle for this widow, right?
Yes.
God provided for Elijah and he provided for the widow until the famine was passed. But what if she hadn't acted on what Elijah told him? Would the flour and oil have multiplied if she didn't act on and do what Elijah said?
No.
This widow demonstrated great faith because she literally gave her last meal. Now, can you imagine today? Pastor takes last meal from poor widow. Details at 6. Can you imagine? Pastor in fancy suit takes last meal from widow. I mean, can you imagine? It seems crazy, but listen, faith is sometimes very different to what we think.
Amen.
It was this widow's willingness to act and give in faith on her very last meal that moved God to act in her life. You see, tithing and giving is one of the greatest ways that you demonstrate your faith. That's why it pleases God. That's why it gets His attention. Tithing is putting action to your faith. I mean, it's good to pray and believe that God prospers you. Absolutely. But let me tell you, tithing and giving is putting action to your faith. In other words, you can pray and believe for God to prosper you till the cows come home, but if you just begin to tithe and give your seed, you're putting action to your faith. You see things happen. You're demonstrating by your actions you really believe God's word. I'll close with this. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain. God accepted Abel's offering to show that he was a righteous man. And although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us because of his faith. It was by faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. It had never rained before. Do you know it had never rained when God told Noah, build an ark, rain's coming. And he built an ark for 120 years. They'd never seen rain. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went, not knowing where he was going. Now notice, by faith Abel brought. By faith Noah built. By faith Abraham went. Those are all actions. Notice, Abel brought. Noah built. Abraham went. They all put action to their faith. Do you have a faith that God can see? Are you putting actions behind what you're believing for? It's not enough just to pray and believe. You've got to take it one step further. You've got to do something to demonstrate your faith to God. Amen? Amen. You might not see how it could ever happen. But just like those lepers, as you take steps of faith, God will move and open the right doors. You'll have a strength to do what you couldn't do before. I mean, some of you have a dream. You've been praying about that dream for a long time. You have promises you've been standing on for many years, and that's great. But it's time to take it to the next level. It's time to do something to demonstrate your faith. It's time to do something out of the ordinary to show God that you are serious about accomplishing your dreams. I'm telling you, if you put actions to your faith, you'll see God show up in your life and God show out in your life in unusual, extraordinary ways. I believe that you will overcome every obstacle you face. I believe you will defeat every enemy that you face. I believe you will see every dream, every promise God put in your heart. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, come on, give God praise this morning. You believe that this morning. Stacy, come up here for a second, if you don't mind. Stacy sent me a wonderful little message this week, and I wanted to share what, talk about putting action to your faith. You talk about putting action to your faith. Tell us what you did.
So, a few weeks ago, I realized that I was going to have a huge tax bill this year of $14,000. I don't have $14,000 in the bank to pay it. So some of you who know me know my history with the IRS, and I need to pay this money this year. So anyway, that was a huge thing for me to believe God for. And you had been, preaching on faith. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to pray for it, believe that I receive it. All the stuff that you've been teaching us all these weeks that, we all know. And I'll be honest, I don't always put them into practice. And that's part of why things don't happen. So anyway, it was 2 weeks ago, actually was not in church that week. I had overslept, but I turned the service online, and I caught the end of it. You were giving offering message, and you were asking for people if they could give extra money that week to do so. So the Lord had already spoken to me about sowing a seed of $1,000, which seems, I'm getting nervous up here, I shouldn't be, I talk with my hands, so holding a microphone makes me nervous. It seems counterintuitive when you need $14,000 to take $1,000 out of the bank account and not give it. But no, I was right on it. I pulled out that Secure Give app on the phone, and I sewed that money in addition to my tithe. And so that was on Sunday. And then Wednesday, I went to Connect Group. I had already prayed myself. Wednesday, I went to Connect Group and asked the group to have a prayer of agreement with me for the $14,000. And Tom led an amazing prayer of agreement. And it was 2 days after that, money started coming in. So long story short, in less than 2 weeks, I have over $14,000. One thing, a prayer that was shared with me from someone, just a short one, for a specific amount of money, and I wanted to share it. So you would insert whatever amount of money you would need. It says, I claim $14,000 in my case out of my heavenly account. Satan, take your hands off my money. I forbid you from hindering this in any way. Go ministering spirits, influence the right people to cause this to come in. In Jesus' name, I believe I receive it. I will receive $14,000 coming in Jesus' name. And then after that, just continue to thank God for it. So that's amazing. And I will tell you, the enemy was coming at me with doubts because I've had this prayer for many years. This is not new. Not a new need. And so those thoughts were coming to me, you've asked for this before, and it's not happened. You've asked for less, and it's not happened. And I was like, nope, I'm going to believe. And so when you were talking about faith, you said faith is now. It's not future. But then that also can be applied to the past. You can't let what happened in the past take away your faith now. Because the enemy was trying to hold us back. So I wanted to share that as well.
Praise God, Stacy. That was good timing. I would encourage you that, you know, if you haven't been in all of these teachings on faith, I would encourage you to go to the book table, get the CDs. We've got them all on CD. This is the fourth. It's been 4 weeks I've been teaching faith, and every week, you know, we look at a different aspect. And so I can't do it all in 1 week. But if you get the CDs and listen to them, I'm telling you right now, your faith will grow in leaps and bounds. We rejoice. I'm so glad to hear that. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to pray and believe God for my tax bill to be paid too. I'm going to do that, Stacey. I won't tell you how much mine is. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Did you get something out of this morning? You did? I want to ask you for a moment. Why don't you just bow your head for a moment? Just close your eyes if you would. I want to ask every head bowed, every eye closed. We never ever let a Sunday go by. We never let a service go by without giving people the opportunity to just make sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God today. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Steve, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm not sure if all is right with me and God. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say that you know without any doubt that if you died today, you know you'd go to heaven? You're sure about that? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, are you sure? Are you certain of where you would spend eternity? Because the good news is you can be sure. You can be certain. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain. There is a heaven that awaits us. And there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you're sitting, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God today. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. Include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure that all is right, all is well with me and God. I want to make sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that is you, if you want to be included in this prayer, I'm going to ask you quickly just to lift your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. Say, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Include me. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you are included in this prayer this morning. All right. Didn't see anybody. Praise the Lord. I have something I want to something coming up in 2 weeks I want to tell you about. I'll tell you right after Pastor Jill is finished. Oh, I'm done. I'm doing it. Oh, okay. All right. I guess I have it. All right. Praise the Lord. How many of you ready to give this morning? How many people are ready to put action to your faith this morning? This is an opportunity. This is one way that we put action to our faith. That we demonstrate to God, Lord, I believe in you. I'm believing you to take care of me. I believe your word is true. You know, you can pray all day for God to prosper you, but the Bible says that when you tithe, that God opens the windows of heaven and he pours blessing upon you that you cannot receive it, and he rebukes the devourer, he rebukes the enemy for your sake. So when you take that, when you act in faith on what God says and you begin to tithe, then the windows of heaven begin to open above you, and God begins to bless you and protect you. So this is one way that we act in faith today. I want you to hold your offering or your tithe. Take an envelope. I think there's one on every chair. Go ahead, and we're going to pray over this. There's various ways you can give at our church. Just to let you know, you can give by cash, check, credit card. You can give by using the Secure Give app. You can give by text giving. You can give online. Those who are watching online, we're so glad you joined in today. We're so glad you joined us. I think about Stacy 2 weeks ago, was at home watching the service. Felt the Lord tell her, give $1,000. She needed $14,000 for her tax. And the next thing, the money just came in. She said that business just started coming in 2 weeks. So praise God. God is faithful. I want you to hold your tithing, your offering in your hand. And I want to pray. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Why don't you say this? Say this. Say, Father, I believe that your word is true. I thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are my provider. And Lord, you promise that when I obey you, when I put action to my faith, and when I tithe, and when I give, you said that you would open the windows of heaven above my life. And you would pour blessing upon me. And you would rebuke the devourer. You would protect me. You said that when I give, you would cause men to give back to me. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Say, Lord, I give in faith today. I bring this offering in faith because I'm looking to you to provide every need. Say this, say, thank you, Lord. I do not have to worry about my finances. I don't have to worry because you are taking care of every need. I cast all my cares on you. Thank you, Lord, for prospering me. Thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Thank you, Lord, for your favor that surrounds me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Is everybody ready this morning? Thank you so much. Ushers, is this for me? Ushers, I think you can go ahead and receive the offering this morning. I said I had something to tell you, and that is in 2 weeks' time. How many of you know what the mission of our church is? What is our mission as a church? You can tell me. What is the mission of our church? Yes, to go and make disciples. To bring people into the family of God, to go into the world and make disciples, to reach others for the Lord. That's our mission. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. That's what God called us to do, is to reach others. And so in 2 weeks' time, we have evangelist Clayton Jennings going to be back with us in 2 weeks' time. Now let me say this to you. Clayton Jennings is an evangelist. That means God uses him to reach people who don't know the Lord. That's what he's anointed to do. That's what he's gifted to do. So I want to encourage you, when you came in today, you were given an invitation card. And the reason we give this to you is because we ask you to please use this card to invite somebody else. Did anyone not receive? Is anyone didn't get one of these invite cards? Raise up your hand. Let's get them out. Is anyone who needs more? Just hold up your hand. Help me, ushers. Get some of these cards out. They're no good sitting on the table. Let's get them out. Let's give these out. Let's invite people to Clayton Jennings. God is using him in an amazing way. He's preached to millions of people around the globe. Thousands and thousands of lives have been changed through his ministry. His goal is to tell the entire world about Jesus. He's known for his spoken word videos, films, and books. He has over 1 million followers on social media. And I want to especially, invite everybody, but especially invite young people. Angelique, I'm expecting you to invite at least 10 people by yourself. Family, we have an opportunity to see people get brought into the kingdom of God. We have an opportunity to see people get saved. Our part is to, our action we've got to take is to invite someone. It's just as simple as giving them an invitation card. You never know. Their life could be changed forever. We're going to watch this video and then we're going to close. I just want to tell you that we had a great time of prayer at my house on Wednesday. Thank you for everybody who came to pray. I'm calling it the prayer party at Pastor's House. On the first Wednesday of every month, we have the prayer party at Pastor's House. How many of you believe it's important for us as a church to pray? Do you know the Bible says that the early church in Acts chapter 2, it says they were devoted to fellowship, to the word, and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. Jesus prayed. And I believe it's very important for us as a church to come together at least once a month and pray and seek God. And we had a great time. I want to tell you, the next one is on Wednesday, April the 5th, at my house. I will be sending you a text to remind you, but I hope you'll be there. Let's just watch Clayton, and then we're going to close the service this morning. Let's see that video. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you.
You haven't seen nothing yet. You have not seen nothing yet. There's too much more ahead of you.
We just wrapped service. This church's largest crowd they've ever had came out from all across the states. And here's why they came. They didn't come to be entertained. There's a hunger. There's a hunger going on. And what they want, what my generation wants, what this country wants is truth, man. And truth is Jesus Christ. They came to hear the gospel, and I believe they did.
My generation is hungry for truth. My generation wants somebody who's going to tell them about Jesus without watering it down, without sugarcoating it, without an agenda, just because they care about their eternal destination. That's what my generation wants.
He's vibrant, he's full of life, and full of passion. And when you see that passion, you know, it's hard not to latch onto it. And for that, he's got a gift of just speaking into people's lives of all ages.
Some people drove a couple hours to get here, and he has a big following. And more so than that, he's got a huge heart. He's got a big heart.
This morning, everyone who was under my voice sitting here is going to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know why? Because you're going to hear the gospel. And when you hear the gospel, you have an encounter with Jesus. And you have a decision to make. Accept him, reject him, crown him, or kill him. And every single one of you that came here today has to make a decision.
Praise the Lord. So, listen, I know when we have Clayton, we have people come from all over. We have people drive 10 hours to be here. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad. But listen, I really want our church to invite people. I want to reach people locally. Amen? I don't just want to reach people 10 hours away. I want to reach people who live here in Jupiter, in Stewart, in Hope Sound, in Tequesta, in Palm Beach Gardens, in West Palm Beach. So I'm asking everybody, every one of us, to invite somebody to come to the Clayton Jennings service. Particularly someone who doesn't know the Lord. Invite sinners, heathens. Get the sinners. Get the murderers, the prostitutes, the thieves. Get the sinners, man. We all are sinners. Lord, we thank you.
On this subject, I was at the gym this week and I was working out with a younger girl, and I just said to her, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And she said, "You know, I've never been to church in my entire life." She said, "My family was, they were Buddhist, but we never were practicing." She said, "I've never been to a church." And I thought to myself, I mean, I could invite her any week, and I thought, I can't wait for these invites, because what better time for them just to hear the gospel, right? Anyway, I just want to make one quick announcement. Mandy Green, just stand up. Mandy, is she in here? There she is. We run the lunch club once a month, which is the last Sunday of the month. So just to remind you, it's next week. 15 minutes after the end of the service, they're going to meet in a local restaurant. And next Sunday, it's going to be at Shipwreck, which is on Old Dixie. And you can ask Mandy any questions you'd like. Last time you had like 15 people came. So more than 15. So it's a great opportunity to just get to know people and have lunch together. So that's next week.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a God who is pleased by our faith. You are a God who is looking to see our faith. Lord, as we go out of here today, we determined that we are going to put actions to our faith. We're not going to have dead faith. We're going to give life to our faith, Lord. We're going to believe you for big things. We're not going to worry. We're not going to be anxious. Lord, we're going to cast every care on you. And we're going to just, you said that we should make our requests known. We should not be anxious about anything, but we should make our requests known. Lord, you want us. You said, call upon me and I will answer you. You want us to believe you, Lord. It pleases you when we believe you for the impossible. I thank you as we go out of here today, Lord. I thank you that you're working in people's lives. I thank you for all the miracles and breakthroughs that will occur this week, Lord. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all the believers said amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being here today. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless everybody.
Ask anybody.